Samuel 4, I would imagine that almost all of you, or many of you, would say, he's calling Samuel as a prophet. The Lord calls Samuel. And indeed, that's what he's doing. But in the case of Samuel, as I've studied it this week, he is not just calling him to be a prophet, but also for salvation, not just for service as a prophet, but also that Samuel would know the Lord. He has a double call at the same time that I think you'll see this morning. It's much like the Apostle Paul as he was on the road to Damascus. He didn't know the Lord, and in one fell swoop, as God brings this light and he's knocked off the donkey, he comes to faith and he's called in his apostle all at once. It doesn't normally happen like that, but sometimes it happens like that. And I think that you'll see that this morning. And we have, once again, as we'll have all through Samuel, a comparison. Because last week, I just want you to look, open your Bible there to 1 Samuel 2 and 2, chapter 2, verse 2. It describes in Eli's house, who was the high priest, he had these two sons who were probably in their early 20s, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were worthless men because at this age, they were, of all things, going to be, one of them would be, when Eli died, which should be the next high priest, but they didn't know the Lord. Look how it's described them. 1 Samuel 2 and 2. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And now as we come to look at Samuel at this portion of his life, he is somewhere between the age of 8 and 14. If you're between the age of 8 and 14, raise your hand, please. 8 and 14. I want to see those hands. Look at, there's 8 and 14, if you're that. Yeah, look at that. Wow. Well, you don't often get a sermon for you, but in one sense, this is for you. Now, we're not sure exactly. The historian Josephus says that he was 12. But he's somewhere. He might have been, we're just not sure. He was still young, not an adult. But if you look at 1 Samuel 3, where we're going to be today, I want you to just look as we start at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel had been in Eli's house, but he had not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So when you see this little title at the beginning here, and it says, the Lord calls Samuel, it's plural. And that's what we're going to be seeing today. He calls him to a personal relationship, to faith, true faith in knowing the living God. And then he calls him to service as a prophet. So he calls him first and at the same time to salvation and then to service. And the reason I had you younger ones raise your hands is because in a special way it's talking to you today, because God works in young people too. He calls them at an early age at times, the way he would Samuel. And so we don't want to be a child like Hophni and Phinehas who grew up to be 20s, in their 20s, and did not know the Lord. And in fact, they're killed because of their rebellion. You don't know how long you'll have to say. You may have been coming to church all these years and say, oh, when I'm an older teenager, when I'm 21, when I'm 35, I'll come to the Lord. But God calls people at all ages, and often people when they're young, 8 to 12 or younger or older. But you're to listen to the call of God when it comes, not just for service, which he would call all of his people to, but for salvation. And you see, Hophni and Phinehas, who were in their 20s, and they get killed, we'll find out in the next chapter, because of their rebellion towards God, they grew up their whole lives with a believing father in Eli, the high priest. They worked in the church their whole life. They were even working in the church as unbelievers. So they had believing parents, and they were always at the temple. And yet, that didn't make them believers. And here we have Samuel at this young age, somewhere between 8 and 12, and he has believing parents. He had Elkanah, and he had Hannah, and now Eli, the high priest, is standing as his father for 8 or 12 years. And he's serving all the time in the temple, and yet he doesn't know God. So children, just because you're in a covenant family and your parents believe, you don't become a believer by osmosis. They can't give you a paper and say, okay, you're mine. You're going to get my inheritance someday. When I die, you might get the house or the car or the dog or my collection of stamps or whatever it is, right? But they can't. You cannot pass on the faith. Being in the temple didn't save either of these ones. Being with their believing parents didn't save either one of these. And the same for you, children. And we're going to see that God calls even children to himself. And you're to listen to God's call. And God's call is going to come to you today. But first, let's look at the call of God to Samuel for salvation and service. So we're going to read chapter 3 together. So let me pray before I do. Father, as we read this chapter, you need to bring home the truths to us. My reading it isn't magic, and even understanding it is one thing to see it with our eyes and hear it with our ears, but to know it in our hearts, only you can do. Would you do that in your church with all of us today as we talk about salvation and service? Do by your Spirit what only you can do as your word is read and preached. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Samuel 3, this great story of God's calls, the calls of God to salvation. The Lord calls Samuel to salvation and to service. 1 Samuel 3. Now the young man, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by the sacrifice or offerings forever. Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli says, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Well, as I told you, I believe there's two calls here to Samuel. And the first call we want to look at very carefully here, and especially you young folks, but all of us, because God calls us to himself, is in 1 Samuel 3:7-10. And as you look at this, we understand that Samuel is here in the temple. He's serving Eli, and it's nighttime. Eli is in his quarters, and Samuel is out not in the Holy of Holies, but in the tabernacle near where the ark is. And they had a candlestick that had to burn all night, and so someone had to make sure that it stayed there. And apparently that's what little Samuel's job is to do, is to make sure that the light doesn't go out through the night. God had commanded that in Leviticus, that it wouldn't. So he's sleeping there, and there's four calls that he has here, and I want you to look at them and see in particular what's happening in 1 Samuel 3:7-10. You'd heard about how three times this voice comes to little Samuel, and he thinks it's Eli who's calling him. He needs him in the middle of the night. But as it turns out, we look at verse 10, and it says, "And the Lord came and stood." There was what we call a theophany, a place in the Old Testament where we believe even the Lord Jesus, in the second person of the Trinity, comes and reveals himself. And it's not just the voice, but some kind of vision. It doesn't tell us how, but Samuel's coming this fourth time to this voice, and it's not just a voice, but God stands before him so that he will know that it's God's calling him, and so he will know God. And it says there, "And the Lord," look at verse 10, 1 Samuel 3:10, "And the Lord came and stood," calling at other times. But he doesn't just call Samuel once just to get his attention. But when you hear it repeated in the Hebrew, it's often for emphasis, but it's also for tenderness, that I would know you. He's saying, "Samuel." Samuel, as he stands before him, however he's revealing himself, and calls. And Samuel at this young age, 12 years old, 8 to 10, we don't know, he said, "Lord, I want to know. Speak. Speak," he says, "for your servant hears. I've been serving Eli all these years, but I know that I'm to serve you." Well, some of you children might be saying, who are 8 to 10, right? "Well, okay, if God stands and calls my name, I'll respond." Well, I want to tell you that not in the same way that we'll see Samuel be a prophet, but a pastor is a prophet. And God has sent me, young people, to stand before you today and to call you today, to call you to know him. God has sent me to stand and say, it's not enough to come to church every week. It's not enough to have Christian parents. You need to belong to Christ. You need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. You need to know Him personally. And God has sent me as His ambassador of reconciliation, that you, being a child who's a sinner, you lie, you hit your brother and sister, you steal cookies, you do other things. And you know they're wrong. And God's judgment is upon us because we want what we want and we don't want to obey Him or even our parents. And today, God has sent me to stand in His place, to say that today is the day that you're hearing His voice. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation, young people. Jesus is calling you today that you would know Him in your own heart." Don't say, "I'm going to wait till you're older," because remember what happened to Hophni and Phinehas. They proved not to know the Lord. And you're hearing His voice today. And today is the day to open your heart and say, "I want what my parents have. I want to know God." And so here we have this call, first of all, to salvation, to Samuel. But it's a call for all of us, not just the little ones if we don't know Him. We can't put it off because His judgment is coming for those who do not know Him. Today. Today is that day. Don't wait for another day. I stand before you today. Today is that day. But it's not just a call for salvation. He also, at the same time, at this young one, you don't have to wait till you're old and have your job and through with your education to serve the Lord. But we're all, whenever we know Him, are called to serve Him. And He has this call of service too. And the amazing thing is that Samuel responds. And here is this little boy, right? He's somewhere between 8 and 14, and God speaks this word to him. And did you see what the word was? He had to go tell the one who was standing as his father, Eli, the one who had raised him and been tender towards him. And in spite of all of Eli's faults with Hophni and Phinehas, when you read the scripture, you just see the tenderness towards them, don't you? You know, Eli says, "Oh, my son, you didn't hear him. My son, go back to bed." And even when he has to hear this hard message, he says to this little boy, Samuel, "My son, I want to hear it all." And so how hard it is sometimes to serve the Lord when you open His word and you're called to serve Him. This little boy has to go to the one who stands with his father and say, "Your boys are going to die. You're going to lose being priests, and no one will be able to make any sacrifice for them forever. God's judgment has come because they refuse to hear the word of God." Imagine this young boy, God's work in him, that he indeed, it says he waited till morning. Maybe he didn't want to wake Samuel because he was old and he'd woken him three times already, or maybe he, as a young boy, he was terrified. We don't know all that was coming. But he does in the morning. He gets up and opens the doors and goes into the one who stands as his father, Eli. And he tells him he's obedient and brings this message. That's what a prophet has to do. That's what your preacher has to do. Sometimes I give you great news. The Lord Jesus has died for sinners like us. And sometimes I have to tell you, but you're the one that's sinning unless you turn. And you're not living for Him, right? So the prophet has sometimes great messages to bring. We looked at Isaiah chapter 40 today, where Isaiah got to say to the struggling people of Israel, "Comfort my people," right? That's a great message when the prophet gets to say, "Oh, it's going to be good. In spite of what you've done, God loves you." But here, this little boy is faithful. It's an amazing call as God works in him and he responds. And he brings every bit of that hard word But that's what a servant does. A servant desires to be faithful because they know the one that calls them and they love them. And Samuel had come into this relationship not just with Eli, he knew to be his father, but now he came into this relationship with God, his heavenly Father, through salvation, and he serves him because he wants to please him no matter how hard it is. Beloved, that's not just a message for our little ones, is it? Because of all of us who've come to know our Father, we're all blood bought by him, and we're called to serve too. And God often calls us to a hard work, but we don't always want to do it. What's going to have us do it? What's going to have us keep the commands? And Jesus said it himself in John 15, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." You're not all called to service as prophets or preachers, but we're all called to be Jesus' disciples. He says, if you're called to be my disciples, John 15, 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see this call of service that by God's grace Samuel answers. But beloved, as we look here at salvation and we look at service, that's the same call given to Samuel as it's given to every Christian, everyone who believes. You're called to salvation, and because God has given his Son Jesus for you, now serve me. You are my disciple. You are blood bought. You used to be a servant and slave of sin, and now you're a servant of mine and a slave to righteousness. Because I love you, keep my commandments. Have you gotten away from serving Christ? Have some of you said, I'm busy. I know God would have me do this and say this with my neighbor, or go to my child and say this, or at work to be bold here, or to do something that needs to be done at the church, to teach Sunday school, or some other way to help use my gifts in the body. But you said, no. I can't. That's too hard. God calls us for good works and hard things. So even as we look at this call of salvation and service to Samuel, it's no less for us. Do you remember where we are in history? As we end here, I want to encourage you, because you might be discouraged because you look at our nation, and if you've been around for any period of time, you've seen a slide, right? Marriage, morality, government. Almost all the institutions, often in the church, you've seen churches and fall because of the goofy things they do, right? We see this general time in a nation that could be described as Israel was described. Remember how Israel is described at this time in Judges 21:25? In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I mean, if I would describe our culture right now, that just seems to be it. Do what you want to do. That's what I want to do. I'm going to give my life to this. And it doesn't matter if it's a good thing. Things that are historically called bad things, people just do. And they go, that's what you want to do? You're not killing anybody. It's okay. And so it's so easy for many of you who are older and have seen this cultural slide in our country to be like, oh man, what's going to happen? It's very interesting in the picture we're given here, because look at 1 Samuel 2. Not only was everyone doing what was right in their own eyes, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says that the word of God was rare in those days. God, because of his judgment, had kept the word away, the word of God, which changes hearts and changes a culture. And it seems to be a dark time, even the way Samuel's and the writer's portraying this, because Eli, who's the high priest, he didn't do very well. He had these horrible sons. It says that his eyes were growing dim, and it talks about like the work in the temple, the light hasn't quite gone out. It's a dark time. If you look around at the church, and if you looked around at the culture, you said, it's not that good. What's happened? I want the good old days, whatever they were, right? But this chapter is bookend to show us something. And I want you to look at the bookends with me now that you might be encouraged that when things are the darkest or they seem hard or like there's no progress, God isn't asleep. Let's look at 1 Samuel 3 and 1. Look there with me. In the midst of all this, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. Who is this little tiny boy, a boy of barrenness that comes? And his mother says, okay, Lord, you give me a child, I'll give him to you, and given to her, and we just have this little line, yeah, in the midst of everything else, there's this little tiny boy, doesn't even know God yet, but he's being busy at the temple. It's this little line. What does it mean? It's insignificant. But look what happens by the time you get to the end of chapter 3. Look with me 19 to 21 as we read this, because this is what God does. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan, from the north, to Beersheba, from the south, knew that Samuel was established as the prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And Samuel is the one who later will anoint King David and bring in this wondrous time of knowing God and prosperity with a man after God's own heart. But it starts with this little nobody and nothing when it's dark. But that's what God chooses to do. Before the first and second great awakening in the United States in 1740, Samuel Blair writes this: religion lay, as it were, a dying, ready and to expire its last breath of light in this part of the visible church. See, we don't know our history, that before the first and second great awakening, the colonies that had come to be the city sent on a hill were dark. And God raised up the first and second great awakening, Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, and the nation was changed. Beloved, let me just say and give you a little light that what I saw last week. It's taken me a while to put this together. But when I was called here, one of the things I think I remember in my call, and I'd have to go look at the papers, but they just wanted to say, you know you're coming to New England, don't you? Before you think about this, you know, when I got the papers about the place, before you think about that, this is New England. Yes, there's lots of opportunity, but the ground is hard. And you know that, right? But the prophet tells us that God's word is the hammer that smashes the. And I want to tell you what's happened last week that I saw. Regularly, I come to Presbytery, and we have 50, 60, 75 guys. We prepared for 75 guys last week. There was 100. What happened? There's all these little young guys, not quite as young as Samuel, but called by the Lord, and they're starting church down in Worcester. They're starting churches in the city and works at university at MIT and Brown now. And it's not only in the PCA that this is happening, but other denominations, Baptists and others, are planting churches all through Boston and the New England area. The pastor who preached here is going to retire 38 years ago. When he went to Presbytery, he had to go to Baltimore because there weren't any churches here. And then he had to go to New York as it grew because there weren't any churches here. And then he had to go to northern New England because there was only a few churches here. And now the Presbytery in northern New England is separated, and there's southern New England Presbytery with 100 men from different churches, because God takes no one who is weak and frail. And in spite of what we see, he does great and wondrous things by the power of his word. Let us look to our God, the one who calls us to salvation and to service and uses us. We think we're little old Samuels. What can God do with me? And at the end, the word of God was strong from the north to the south. Let us look to our prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, that he might continue his work for his glory. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you would indeed call many of our young ones to you. We pray that indeed you would make our hearts ready and willing for service, and that we would have the heart of Samuel ourselves, who said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." We thank you that Samuel didn't always just hear, but he obeyed when it was hard. And Lord, we thank you for the bookends of this chapter that start with this little boy and end with this grown man, that starts when it's dark and ends when it's light. And would you encourage your people today that you start with little, but a little with God is powerful. And you've said, don't despise the times of small beginnings, because it's out of that that you build and raise your church, because then you get the glory. Do that, we pray, with this, your church, for Christ's sake and glory, and with us. Amen.